I don't know if you've ever or often get to that place where you realize, what would my life be if it wasn't for Jesus? You know, what would I be doing today? Where would I be doing today? And you suddenly just value the reality of being in Christ Jesus and Him being our life. And that's why a song like that is such a blessing. Just to, He has it all. He has our life. He is our life. So Father, thank You again for the joy of just being able to express our love to You in song and words and just in posture, and just to so appreciate singing the lyrics concerning salvation, what Your Son Jesus, what You did through Your Son on the cross. We want to thank You, Lord Jesus, that Your name is above every other name. And You are again teaching us more and more on how to live in the reality of Your life, in the reality of who You are, in the reality that Your name is above all the other names. So we thank You for the life You've given us. Thank You for Your Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit, how You so impart the very life of God into us, and what Christ has done on the cross, You make it so real. How You continually testify to our spirit, who our Heavenly Father is, Abba Father. So we want to thank You for just the joy and the privilege and the incredible blessing of, Father, Your gift of Holy Spirit that You've given to every believer. So we thank You. We do ask today, Father, let Your Holy Spirit work in the lives of the unsaved. Draw them, reveal Jesus Christ to them, open their understanding, give them a revelation of who You are and who Your Son is, that they can also come through Jesus into the family to know You as the Heavenly Father. So thank You as Your Holy Spirit works in our nation today and amongst the nations for Your honor and for Your glory through Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, I want you to turn again to Colossians chapter 2. A particular scripture, or part of the scripture of last week, was this one here, and from verse 1 right through. But verse 6, so then just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him. And that's what we're busy looking at. Rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity live in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. And then it carries on about the reality of our new nature in Christ Jesus with the circumcision done by the power of the Holy Spirit. We're looking at the relationship between faith, understanding, knowledge, and wisdom. And as we looked at last week, where we saw there in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3, that it's by faith that we understand. And so without a God faith, we aren't able to understand spiritual truths. So the faith that God gives to us, it opens up, it gives us access into the incredible journey of getting understanding of what God is actually sharing, what God has done, who God is, and so forth. And all of us as believers, we have been given faith. It's a God gift that we have. That's why when we got born again, we didn't understand salvation. Before that, we didn't understand what redemption and atonement and all those things were all about. We didn't understand propitiation. All these things, we had no understanding. But when God's grace was working and the faith is coming through His gift of grace, and we suddenly understood the need to be saved. We didn't have that understanding. Faith enables us to understand the reality of Christ Jesus, the cross, etc. And all the time, we are growing in more and more understanding. And that's why you see in Colossians, and let's go in Colossians chapter 1, where Paul is busy praying, and he prays for the body of Christ. And it's an amazing prayer, verse 9. He's celebrating the fact that they are rooted in love, they are rooted in faith, they are growing in their relationship with God and their love for Him and their love for one another. And he says, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you, asking God to fill you with the knowledge. This word full, anything that still lacks, continually, God is continually filling us with any knowledge, any wisdom, understanding that we are still lacking. How by the Holy Spirit, He continually fills, and that's part of our continuous growth. For this reason, since the day we have heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. And then he carries on, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So here is you can see the all the time when God speaks, or the Word of God speaks about knowledge, it's never separated from wisdom and understanding. They always go together. Because the knowledge is when the Holy Spirit reveals the truth. Now we have knowledge. But many times we just don't understand yet what that truth is all about. So the Holy Spirit helps us to get understanding of what He has shared with us. And then once we've got the understanding from that knowledge that the Word of God has given, remember faith comes from hearing. So now we have faith, we've heard God. Because we have faith, we're now able to get understanding. And now as we get the understanding, now we know how to appropriate that. Now we know how God sees the situation, and now we know how to walk and to go into the will of God, and that's the wisdom. And wisdom has fruit. Remember what Jesus said, that wisdom is shown by its children. And this is why wisdom is such a powerful testimony in this world today, this God wisdom. Because it's an evidence of you and I knowing the will of God. It's the evidence of you and I understanding how God sees the situation and now how what His will is, the pathway for you and I, and us responding and walking by faith in that wisdom. And it's such a powerful testimony that the world needs. And so all the time, that's why with Jesus, they marveled at His wisdom. They marveled at Him. Because He was demonstrating he's full of the wisdom of God, and He's demonstrating knowing the will of God, understanding the ways of God, and living it out. Powerful testimony. And this is part of the call of God when Jesus says, you are the salt, you are the light. For the body of Christ to get the understanding of what God's word is, what God is sharing, and then beginning to really know how to live it out in our day-to-day life. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The wisdom of God, it's spiritual stuff to manifest on earth so people can experience. So taste and see that God is good is part of what this is all about. And so here we see an amazing relationship. So then Paul carries on, and he then goes on and he speaks about the supremacy of Christ and just giving such a revelation of Jesus Christ again, helping the believers to really be secure in their faith and in their relationship with God. And then he carries on and he begins to speak about his labor, how he's working hard. And he goes on, he says, let me just go to chapter 1 and let's go verse 26. Or verse 25, I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So here we can see what Paul is focusing on. God gave Paul the revelation of the incredible mystery of Christ within the believer. And then he carries on and he says, we proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect to Christ. To this end, I labor, struggling with all the energy which so powerfully works in me. So you can understand what when Paul got Father given the spirit of wisdom and revelation, it's all in the context of beginning to really know the reality of what it is to be in Christ and what it is for Christ to be in us. And a simple way that may help some is that when we are saying that we are in Christ Jesus, everything, our life is in Christ, His righteousness, His holiness, everything about Jesus, we now live in the reality of all of that. Christ in us is the reality of that spiritual truth to become a reality on the earth. And that's the reality. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives, so that the very life of Christ, the very incredible reality of the rule, the kingdom of God, can be made known on earth, Christ in us. Okay, and that's the walk of obedience as we carry on. Now, one of the things that Paul then goes on and he says over here, I want you to know, verse chapter 2, how much I'm struggling for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding. Once again, we're getting back to the understanding. Once again, we're getting back to the prayer. Father, fill them with wisdom, fill them with understanding, fill them with knowledge by the Holy Spirit. It's spiritual, the Holy Spirit releasing the incredible truth, the will of God, the ways of God, how to understand what He is busy doing so that we can live our lives. And He carries on. He has the purpose. My purpose is this, that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full and complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in Him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And then he carries on, because there's a temptation of people being deceived by all the philosophies, by the religion of the day, etc. And he's pointing out Jesus, he's pointing out who we are and the wisdom that we have in Christ. Because at that time, the philosophy on the Greeks was a very powerful daily kind of activity amongst the Greeks at that time. But the connection here for us is that he's praying and he's saying, so that you may be encouraged in heart and united and strengthened in this unity of love. And that opens up access into greater insight into this incredible mystery of all the hidden treasures in Christ Jesus. Now that's crucial, because we are looking at how do we advance the kingdom of God? How do we continue with Him to see the kingdom of God advancing? And He's sharing with us who are the kingdom builders, who are people, who are the children of God that knows how to manifest, to walk in the wisdom of God, to have an understanding of the will of God and applying the will of God, so that they can see the fruit of thy kingdom come that will be done. It's those believers that are encouraged in heart and united in love. And chapter 1 speaks about, I'm encouraged the way that you love in the Spirit. So it's part of, yielded as a part of the fruit of the Spirit, this love that we're talking about. It's understanding the truth in Colossians chapter 3, that since you've been you've been buried with Christ, you've died to that old sinful nature, and you've been raised. Because we know, some of us who've been in church leadership meetings, we know that if there's self-opinion, there's a lot of selfness, there's a lot of man-made stuff and opinions, etc., and we miss out what is God's will, because it's very much on the self-centered level. And here we see God is busy working in the believers for you and I as family of God to understand something deeper, to understand what it is to be a builder in the kingdom of God, to understand what it is for the Holy Spirit to give encouragement and for us to be understanding how to speak words of grace. How do we encourage one another? And that's part of what we're going to be looking at just now in a video quickly, is part of how do we communicate so that we're starting to rise up, we speak the truth in love, what that means. Also, so that we can begin to understand how to continually grow in our love for one another, the love that comes from Christ in us. That's part of our growth. That opens up now this incredible access into this knowledge of God, the will of God. And we need that. The body of Christ, the Sasselburg, Metzumaholder, we need more and more of all of us as a family of God growing up in this, so that we understand the will of God. We know how to live out the will of God in the times that we're in here in Metzumaholder. Very important for us to hear what the Holy Spirit is sharing, wherever you may be in Paris or Funabar, whatever you may, where you live. We need to get better understanding of the ways of God. And this is why, as we pray for the family of God in a town, in a nation, we remember a few weeks back we were saying, God, help us to understand what your will is, what you're wanting to do, Father, in the towns that we're living in. Not what we want to do as a church, not what we want to do because of our programs, but Father, what is your will and how do we fit into that? So we need the knowledge, we need the understanding so that we have the wisdom on how to live out the Father's will. So the prayer is vital, Lord, continually revealed to the family of God in the town. And this is why, as I shared, the crossroads comes into their life. Because particularly as believers, as church leaders, we've all got our programs, our agenda, etc., etc. And it's very difficult to get to the place where we surrender all of that. And we say, Father, what is your will? You see, you've called us, you've placed us in a town because you have a purpose. What is your will? And we surrender to your will. And that's sometimes difficult for us as church leaders because we've got a set program. And particularly in organizations where you've got to get feedback to the head office of the stats, etc., blah, 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 blah. And there's all that peer pressure that many of the denominations have. But we've got to be brave and courageous and get to the place, Father, you placed us in a town. Why are we here? Why are we all working here? Why are we living here? It's not just for the sake of a job or something, but we're here because we are in your Son and you want your kingdom to come. And so, God, give us wisdom, give us revelation, give us understanding of these things so that we can live it out. So there's a very practical side to understanding. There's a very practical side to knowledge and to the wisdom. Remember what Jesus said when he spoke about the wise and the foolish builder. The wise hear and obey. They're building on the rock, the foundation, Christ Jesus. We looked at Colossians 2 verse 6 there, to be built up now in Christ Jesus. So we're hearing what God is saying and we're getting the understanding of that, and then we're obeying, building on Jesus Christ, our foundation. We are wise. So when the storms comes, what happens? The world can see the wisdom of God. They can see the wise. They can see the wisdom of God because we as believers, we are standing. We're not crumbling. We're not panicking and having all this fear and running away, etc. We're different people. Because we know what God's up to. despite that we have an understanding of what God is busy doing in the political, in the business, you name it, we've got wisdom from God. We've got understanding on how to live and apply His word in all the situation. So we have these. Remember in Matthew 13, the parable of the sower. We touched this last week, where Jesus says over there to the disciples, He's speaking and the disciples ask, but why do you speak to us in parables? And Jesus then continues and He says, but see, I'm speaking to you, you hear, you understand, you are blessed. But there are many, as I can speak and speak and speak, but they always hear but never understand. They always see but never perceive. Why? Because they've hardened their heart, unbelief. The disciples had faith in Christ. It gave them access into understanding a lot more. The others, they hardened their heart, their unbelief. They rebelled against God, and therefore they could never understand. And then He carries on about the parable, and He says, the seed that falls on the hard ground is those that do not have understanding. And therefore the devil comes and steals that which was sown in their heart. But those with understanding, if you go to the end of the chapter of that parable, into that parable, but those who hear and understand, or those that produce fruit, 30, 60, 100-fold. Can you see the importance of you and I praying, Father, give us a spirit of wisdom, understanding, and knowledge? Can you see why it's so crucial to hear the Holy Spirit speak? Faith comes from hearing. It opens up. Now you've shared something. I need understanding of what you're sharing. I don't want surface level understanding. I need understanding. What are you actually saying? Because I need to get the wisdom on how to live this out in my day-to-day life, the practical part of wisdom. I need that. And that bears fruit. The fruit, you can see, it's visible, it's tangible in one's life. So here we have in Colossians, just to recap as we, before we just watch a video now. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him. So it's a continual lifestyle to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him. Remember last week we looked at the reality of rooted. It's being firmly established in Christ Jesus and built up. I like the definition that the Greek there, planned with a pre-designed specification. You and I in Christ, what is the Father's predestined plan? For us to be conformed into the likeness of His Son Jesus. So when we speak about being built up, we know that God has already pre-designed a plan for you and I to be conformed into His likeness of His Son Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is committed to that. And that's why all the time is when, as Jesus, as Lord, Lord, you are my Lord. And therefore, what is your will? My life is your life. What are you sharing? And the Holy Spirit will work in us, conforming us more and more into the likeness of Jesus. We go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, where Paul writes over there that as we behold Christ Jesus, if you focus on Him, what takes place? Where the Spirit is Lord, there we are transformed, we're conformed into the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ. So again, back to the reality of how when God met with us, we met with Him and we gave our life to Jesus Christ. So in this video that we want to watch, it's by Graham Cook. It's about 15 minutes long, but it's just sharing a little bit more on some of the aspects of understanding and the practical putting into practice what God has shared, and also about the family of God, the body dynamics in encouraging and helping one another in these things. So William, let's watch this video.
This week we're looking at the difference between what is true and what is the truth. As you're learning, the process of revelation enlarges your spirit. That means it opens you up to new ways and new means. Wisdom expands our understanding of who God is for us and how He wants to work in us. I love wisdom because it creates a new awareness of what is possible. because we're exposed to truth that frees us to see things differently. And that's a major key. If what you're learning doesn't set you free, it's not the truth. It may be true of our old man behavior, but it's not the truth of who we are now in Jesus. Speaking negatively about someone does not empower them to become Christ-like. In fact, it may have the opposite effect of debilitating their faith in response to the Lord. You know, we've all been exposed to those people who seem fixated on negative things that they see in us. But these are all the things that were crucified with Jesus on the cross. Therefore, they're no longer real to him. He took away those things and he is replacing them with the truth of who he is in us and for us. Only the truth can set you free. When we're speaking the truth in love, we're not telling people what's wrong with them. We're telling people how God sees them. So in times of change, we focus on questions that create growth, which is why we're doing this mentoring series. We're empowering you by asking questions that call you up to a new identity. We grow the fastest when we enjoy being accountable for who we are becoming in Jesus. So accountability is not about calling you out, it's about calling you up. Accountability is where I'm accountable for my friend to call him up to a higher level so that he can spiritually appraise his life in a very different way. So I'm going to ask questions like, what's God doing with you right now? Where are you in the realm of the Holy Spirit? What's happening in relation to you becoming Christ-like in these circumstances? We call people up to a truth that creates freedom. Revelation reviews our mindset and then renews it so that we can prove God in a more powerful way. It's so important that you review your thinking and that accountability is you saying to your friends, hey, this is how I'm thinking right now, so check me out. Am I doing okay? Truth is never powered solely by a negative perspective. We don't deny the existence of a negative, but we use it to point to what Jesus has done for us. And it's that truth that becomes our starting place for freedom and new growth. When we find a negative in our lives, whether in our own discovery or when someone points it out, don't defend it. We need to deal with it in a very particular way. Jesus allows us to move in the opposite spirit to create new vision and thinking about ourselves as he sees us. This is our opportunity to set our mind on things above, because that's the truth, and not on things below. That's what is true. We can do that because our old man is dead and our new man is hidden with Christ in God. Check it out in Colossians 3 verses 1 to 4. We don't want to accept what is true as truth. We want to bring what is true into the light and understand what's missing in our experience of God that would cause us to choose such a behavior. Then we have the joy of repenting towards who we are becoming in Christ. So instead of focusing on what we should be dead to, we're going to focus on what we're alive to in Christ. We're going to say to the Lord, I'm so sorry that I chose anger instead of patience, Lord. You gave me this great opportunity to practice my patience and I blew it. Forgive me for not practicing patience and give me another opportunity to learn and experience this truth. Focusing on what is true in terms of behavior or mindsets is not going to set anyone free. Not you, not anyone. It might produce a small measure of behavioral change, but it won't produce lasting transformation into the image of Christ. Remember 2 Corinthians 3:18? But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. In other words, you'll become what you behold. So we want to behold who Jesus is, full of grace and truth. And then we're setting our minds on Him, focusing on His true nature, and whatever might be missing of our experience of Him, because we know He's happy to provide it. The next important key is practice the truth until your freedom becomes real. If you don't practice the truth, you can't become it. You may think you have an understanding of truth, but it will only be in your head, not your heart. That's called mental assent, which cannot create freedom to actually change. So if you're not practicing the truth, you don't get it. Freedom is the practice of putting the truth to work in your circumstances and developing the lifestyle of upgrades into newness of life. Understanding must partner with experience to release freedom. So if you're not doing it, that's what you're not going to get, freedom. You don't know it because you're not becoming it. Understanding is about practicing. Revelation produces this encounter with God where the renewing of the mind empowers us to think on a higher level so we can live in a higher place with God. Finally, remember your partner, the Holy Spirit. You know, when Jesus told the disciples in John 14 that it would be better when the Holy Spirit comes, they were all thinking, no, it's not. You're not wrong about much, Jesus, but you're wrong about that. We need you here all the time. But Jesus knew that the Holy Spirit is the one who is promised to be able to teach us all things. He's our teacher, our helper, and our comforter on the days that we're not getting it. He's a genius at taking the things of God and making them real in our lives. So why would anyone leave such a genius partner out of their process? Partnership with the Holy Spirit in truth allows us to break through into more revelation that will transform us into the image of Christ. The Holy Spirit brings us into a place of encounter and experience that renews our mind and our thinking. We're not meant to just understand the truth academically. The Holy Spirit partners with us to make it our 3D reality. He helps us to see the way that God sees and think the way that God thinks. His empowerment allows us to see things we've never seen before and sets us free to encounter the spirit of wisdom and revelation that is the spirit of truth. He knows exactly what you need for this part of your story in God to evolve. So here's a way that you can activate this in your life this week. Think of an area that you're currently upgrading with the Lord. Write down the thoughts that you're having about this. What is He developing in you, and how can you best cooperate with the Holy Spirit in this process? What is Jesus thinking about you right now? What opportunities are present in your circumstances to practice living in that truth? I remember a situation where a guy was being really difficult with me. And on a consistent basis, and I thought that he wasn't really willing to hear me. He just wanted to be oppositional. That was my thinking, whether it was right or not. But here's the thing. My reaction towards him was one of anger. And I'm realizing when I come back to the Lord and say, Lord, what's going on here? You know, what do I do about this guy? And the Lord said, well, let's talk about what we have to do with you first. It's like, what? Really? Can we not talk about him first? How about he changes first, then me change? And the Lord says, well, I'm dealing with him separately, and I'm dealing with you individually. Same thing. So let's talk about how you need to show up with this guy. And the Lord says, you know, you need to cut out the anger, Graham, because in your anger reaction, you're not listening to him, so you're not responding to him, and therefore he can't respond to you. So what if I'm teaching you gentleness? What if I want to replace anger with gentleness? Why don't you try being gentle with him and see where that gets you? So the next time we met, it's the same kind of situation. He's finding fault with stuff. He's not listening. He's trying to back me into a corner. So I just practice being gentle with him. I just practice trying to unpack what he's really trying to say. So what do you see? So if you feel I'm making a mistake here, what would be the thing that I would need to be doing in order to become Christ-like in this situation? Help me out with this. So just being gentle with him and just saying to him, so what do you feel that I need to be doing? Some of the things he said weren't helpful, but you know what? We talked it through and we both came to an understanding. And I know my heart softened towards him. And the next few meetings we have were not brilliant, but they were definitely different. They were definitely a step in the right direction. So for me, that was really key. You know, who is God for me in that situation? And what aspect of God's nature did I need to actually embrace? So what have you thought to be true that you're realizing isn't the truth? So for me, with this guy, I thought, you know, that the proper response was just to, you know, to let him know that I wasn't happy with what he was saying. And actually, it turned out to be the most inappropriate response because it didn't help anyone and it didn't make me more like Jesus. But when I chose what God wanted, which is gentleness, we began to find our way through that situation. So the question really is, what is the truth that the Holy Spirit wants to make your 3D reality? Maybe you could invite a group of friends to join you in listening to this message, and you can all do this together. Then share what you see in each other and where you can call each other up into an identity. And if there's not a group of friends to share with, where can you call yourself up in the Lord? It's great to have friends, but all of us need to be able to do this with the Lord, whether there are others joining us or not. He's more than capable. He adores you too much to share you all the time with everybody else. I'm sure there are some things we need to be learning with him alone. So here's the thing. Love the learning and enjoy the process. Thank you for listening to me. I appreciate it.